Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome. Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize, Redneckinize Radio. We're coming here live here at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in 515-602-9731. Well, welcome everybody along. You know, we're back from Matt's. We went over there to Louisville, Kentucky, hanging out there, and we appreciate everybody stopping by and saying hello. We had a booth there over in by the food court. You guys remember checking that out? That was awesome. We appreciate everybody stopping by and saying hi, and man, we were busy. I tell you what, it was amazing. I actually wanted to go around, you know, videoing a lot of the truck show, but didn't do much of that. We just hung out at the booth there, talking to a lot of people. That was the best thing about it. We had a blast. So I hope everybody is ready to get back to work, because that's what we got to. We got to get back to work. I tell everybody at the truck show, I said, I got to get back to work so I can get some sleep. I tell you what. And it was pretty awesome. But everybody had a great time. And we're just trucking along here. We decided we was going to get back to the show, back to the radio show here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We got a new call-in number. That's 515-602-9731. And we're also on Facebook Live. We're on YouTube Live. And we appreciate everybody joining in and listening along, following along, watching along, whatever you can do. Like I said, if you want to call in, talk about if you went to the show, talk about what you did at the show. I tell you what I did. I didn't go outside and look at the trucks, the show trucks. And to me, those aren't why I'm there. You know, that's all fine and dandy looking at the nice, all shined up trucks. I'm there for the people. You know, all the drivers that we met, you know, even the ones that we made friends with out in the parking lot like before, you know. We didn't do much in the parking lot, but you know what? They were still there, and we still hung out with them a few bits, you know, every now and then when we could, and we still, you know, caught up and shared stories and you know, find out what each other's up to and everything, and that was a blast. And that's pretty much what we're all about here at Redneckinize, is just keeping in contact with people, creating that brotherhood of trucking, what we always do here, and is try to just help the industry by creating this camaraderie of drivers that want to talk and share info and, you know, get to know each other and just common sense information that they want to, that you don't find in the books, you know, that aren't out there a lot. And that's what we're about on YouTube too. We're talking about it all the time. We've got several videos out there talking about that. And then we're trying to expand because, you know, the funny thing is the sponsors, you know, they were asking us, you know, so what's next? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I was like, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? like we can just keep on going, or we can go bigger, or we can try to do whatever. And they're like, man, you guys are doing great. We appreciate everything you're doing. So just keep it up. And, you know, if you want to do any more, let us know. And we're like, that's great. That's what we want to do. So, so we're looking forward to doing more. We're going to be trying to do more and get out there and see more and everything. So, so by doing that is keep on with Redneck and Eyes Radio. You know, we were doing it here for a while, sharing with other platforms, and we're now on our own. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/Redneck and Eyes, you'll see us there. We're there right there. Redneck and Eyes Radio is all there to, by itself with its own platform where we can go do a show, you know, every day if we want to, you know, and there's talks into doing stuff like that. So we're looking forward to doing all that. And we hope everybody is keen along with listening along and providing information. You know, if you want to call in, talk and provide information with us, and we appreciate all that help you can give us because we're excited about doing that. And so that's what we want to keep on doing is we want to keep on talking about, you know, trucking and keeping trucking going. I was just even pulling up, you know, there's not really a lot of news to talk about this week because I get, you know, well, first off, there's not a lot going on. You know, when you got the whole news organizations out there, every single organization that you can see, they're out there. They're talking about, like, I don't know, you know, the war. You know, that's pretty much it, you know. And then what they're also talking about is they're talking about, of course, inflation, which is connected to trucking in a certain way. But the problem is that they don't want to talk about it like that. It's just everybody. And what happens is when I was looking up the news, there's a lot of articles that were talking about trucking downturn, where the freight's going to fall off, where there's not going to be much freight. So we'll dive in a little bit of those talking about that. And then, of course, you know, we're just talking about the truck show and see how everything went and everything like that. So we're just going to keep on rocking along with that and everything. And we hope everybody's excited about being back to work. As excited as I am, I tell you what, it's pretty amazing that we had to do all the things we did to just get back to work. I tell you, it's you come back in, you I mean, I'm still unpacking from the show because we took pretty much everything I had. I took with me that I normally would need. And then today I was just spending time here getting everything hooked back up to where, you know, it's all set to go. So that's what we're doing here. And then we're just, you know, trying to get things set up to where everything will be ready to get back to normal because truck show, it took a lot out of us. Pretty excited about getting that done. So we'll see what happens on that. And we'll see how everything is trucking right along here with that. But until then, you know, we're just going to keep rocking along here. And this is just Redneck and Eyes Radio talking about what's going on in the world. So, like I said, hook us up on YouTube. Look us up there. Follow us on Facebook. We appreciate everybody watching along there. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. That helps us right there. Helps us get growing. That's what the sponsors look at when they look at YouTube because YouTube is a big deal. And of course, Facebook's great, too. We appreciate everybody doing that. But you can call in here. Call in 515-602-9731. You can call in here and just, you know, say what's up and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And like I said, we're all things trucking and then some. And we'll be back here at a little short break. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
In Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street, for all the people to see. That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. Let the gun folks settle to sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men and beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
I'm all to their maker and he'll settle on them.
You can bet he let them down. Cause justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll all way back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Hey, all right, all right. Hey, you. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio here. We're just kicking back, relaxing, and getting back to work. I tell you what, being over at the truck show, it really takes it out of you. If you haven't been there, never been that, it's something else. It's just nonstop going. And I didn't even, like I said, I was talking about earlier, I didn't even go out and see all the trucks outside like everybody likes to do, you know, seeing all the trucks that have been on TV or in magazines or whatever. I don't look at that stuff. I check out the products. I check out the people, you know, hanging out with the people, hanging out with, even with recruiters, you know, they're good people. You know, they might not be shooting it straight sometimes, but they do their best, you know, and a lot of them are good people. You know, we've met a few new ones in there and everything. And we also got to hang out with some people from CDLLife.com. You know, that right there is one of a great website that truckers should check out. And we're happy to know them and be friends with those people over there. We even tried to contact them about reaching out because I told them, I said, dude, most of your stuff, most of the stuff I talk about on YouTube or on our podcast is off of your website. And in fact, I was just looking it up here. This is kind of interesting that a trucker sentenced to prison for hauling millions of dollars worth of cocaine and heroin for the cartel. There's pictures on it too. They've looks like they got a bunch of different stuff here, cash especially. You know, it says a truck driver has been sentenced to state prison after he was caught with millions of dollars worth of illegal drugs in Pennsylvania. It says on Tuesday, March 29th, 2022, Texas-based trucker Christian Ochoa, 29, was sentenced to 7.5 to 15 years in state prison. Ochoa was convicted on two counts of each with possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance and criminal conspiracy, and one count of each of dealing in proceeds of unlawful activities. You know, it's funny how they name these laws. It's like, you know, one count, two counts, and all this because they just created new laws and changed the names of them is what I think they did. I mean, why can't you just throw him in jail for having illegal stuff? That's just what he did, you know, is he had a bunch of stuff that wasn't supposed to have. So, you know, that's illegal. You know, it continues on here. It says firearms not to be carried without license and possession of a weapon. See, that's the thing. So he was that's part of the law is proceeds of unlawful activities, firearms not to be carried without license and possession of a weapon. So they just included all that into the law of illegal activity. I said, well, isn't that what illegal activity is carrying a firearm without a license if you're supposed to have a license? You know, I mean, it's just silly the way they name these things. I think it's so funny. So he's so the truck driver here and a co-defendant, a California resident, Edith Thomas Rodriguez Cardenas, got a lot of names there, 28, was arrested on January 29th of 2021. So that's in January 29th, 2021, and they're just now getting sentenced. I mean, that's pretty quick, actually. So the incident leading to the arrest began when the officer with the Bedminster Township Police Department noticed Choyo was swerving while behind the wheel of a rented Jeep Wrangler in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Rodriguez Cardenas was a passenger in the Jeep when it was pulled over. Following the search, police seized fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine found inside the Jeep. Looks like there's another picture. It says the drug seizure led police search the tractor trailer owned by Choya, which was parked at a truck stop in Lehigh County. Police found an additional 8 kilograms of fentanyl and 1 kilogram of heroin inside. It says in addition to the 19 kilograms of drugs, the two searches led to the recovery of more than $43,000 of cash, a handgun, 6 cell phones, additional drugs, including almost $29,000 in Percocet pills and four Jesus Malverde candles, known as the patron saint of, I guess, narco traffickers, Bucks County's authorities said. That's pretty funny. It said the Bucks County District Attorney's Office said in the news release that the value of the seizure was $5.6 million. He says later, the truck driver later told police that he had been directed by the by a contact in Mexico to drive his semi-truck to the location in California and leave it unlocked, then to deliver the package to Rodriguez in Philadelphia. This is according to the Bucks County Deputy District Attorney Megan Stricter. Achoya transported and delivered the drug while Rodriguez kind of facilitated the transport of the trafficking of the drug and was the money broker in the organization. She is allegedly a member of the cartel Achoya was working with. They got her arrested. They got a picture. They got a bunch of pictures in this one. You know, usually CDL Life, I tell the people all the time, they direct you to the actual article in somewhere else. This is a whole write-up. Got the pictures and everything. It says Rodriguez was also convicted of two counts of possession with intent to deliver controlled substances and one count of each of corruption, organizations, criminal conspiracy, possession of a small amount of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia, and sentenced to eight to 16 years in state prison. The little typo on that must have been pretty quick. Like I said, CDL Life, they're not about really the news. They take the news and they put it on their website so that you'll go to their website. And then they put a link to say, this is where we found it. You know, it's kind of like what we do here at Redneckanize. You know, I'm not out there interviewing people and trying to get the scoops. I just pull up what I see on the internet and just kind of tell you guys about it. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to pull one off on you. You know, a lot of people just don't know where to go to get the news. Some people like to mix the news up with different things, and that's what we do here. See, this article keeps on talking about it. I mean, it's like he's from Texas, she's from California, Jesus Malverde, the patron saint of narco traffickers, was not looking out for them in Pennsylvania, but thankfully the police were, District Attorney Matt Weintraub said. Says, thanks to great police instincts and hard work, these two will now be residents of the Pennsylvania state prison system for the next decade or so. Well, there you go, Pennsylvania taxpayers. You guys got a Texas resident and a California resident in your prison that you're going to be serving three square meals a day to. Good for you, right? Good for you. you're going to pay for their meals and probably all their legal assistance and everything for the next 10 years. So as a resident of Texas, you can have them. I'll tell you what, that's so funny. But get out here. There we go. How about that? You know, we were doing Facebook Live, and then I put a song on, and Facebook's like, oh, you can't play that song on here. I was like, why not? You know, it's not like it's the whole part of the video. It's small part of the video. It just ticks me off when they do that. But anyway, you know, thanks to everybody here at Redneckanize, this is what we've been doing, is this great platform that we've just created here in the last year, and we're going to continue to expand on it, and we appreciate everybody's support, especially support from Load to Ride, LTR Transportation, that's Load to Ride Transportation. Those guys over there, they were big supporters. You saw them at the truck show. If you were at the truck show, you hung out with a couple of people from LTR, and they had stuff over there, got passing out. They were giving the good information about their company, and they had some cool little knickknacks, little footballs and hats and stickers and wristbands and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool to see them guys out there hanging out, and we appreciate all their support and everything, and we look forward to dealing with them in the future. And that's LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And like I said, they're small, or they're not small, they're a pretty good sized carrier out of Denver, Colorado. And they do everything. I mean, it's like one of those things where they have a lot of customers that they deal with regionally, but they do have stuff that, like, they've got a customer, you know, that may be in Denver that says, hey man, I got to send something out to Virginia. And they're like, yeah, well, no problem. We'll take care of it for you. And then you think about it. Well, what do you do in Virginia? How do you get, you know, how do you get back? How do you get the driver back? How do you make money? And they'll go out and they'll find freight. And they do the same thing that all these other smaller carriers do, is they'll go find a broker. And the driver, you know, whether it be the company driver, they actually talk to the customers. And it's one of those things where it's almost like a next step in evolution. If you're a company driver now, and let's say that you're working for Schneider or somebody like that, or Swift or something, and you want to take the next step toward maybe even becoming an owner operator yourself, or whatever, check out some of these smaller carriers that you might not have heard of, where you've got to kind of be more into getting things done yourself, as far as talking to brokers or talking to people. And it, you know, and it's one of those things where you learn a whole lot more. You learn a whole lot more about the industry. And LTR is one of those where you're going to learn. You're definitely going to learn. And you, there's a lot of things going on in the industry that you, as working for one of these big box companies, might not know about. So it's a big deal. So check those out, ltrtransportation.com. And we appreciate them for supporting Redneck and I's. And when you talk to them, tell them you'd appreciate that too, because we do appreciate it. And like I said, we're going to keep on rocking and rolling here and talking about more what's going on in the news. Like I said, there was talks about some kind of economic slowdown. Of course, we see how the inflation and everything's going crazy and everything like that. And there's several articles here. FreightWaves got a couple of articles that they posted 2 days ago. There's an article from a local news organization here that's in the, and this is just doing a search, you know. So is this one of those things where there's a lot going on in that, and we're gonna definitely dive into those and see how everything goes with that, and see if we can find out more about it. What am I doing? There we go. And we're just going to keep rocking and rolling on that. So make sure you go check out, like I said, cdllife.com for a lot of different news and more. And they got you great links to where you can see into the articles, where you can go actually to the source of where they've got their information from. And they're always a good place to go for trucking information. Here, that's what we do. We talk about what's going on in the world and things like that. You can see us at a Facebook Live, and we are also on YouTube Live, and we share our videos, you know, on a semi-daily basis whenever we can get them fixed and uploaded for you. But we're here live. We're here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time, where you can call in. You can call in at 515-602-9731, and you can just follow along, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe there's a subject you want to mention. You know, you just let us know, and we'll definitely get that out there to you. And this is what we do here. We're talking about trucking and life on the road and all things that you can think of to just get things done. And that's what we do, is because everything will go wrong, and you still got to get it done. And that's when you got to redneckanize. So we'll be back here in a second. This is Redneckanize Radio.
Like mama fixed it. That's where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from. A lot of front porch chicken. Where I come from. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to heaven, where I come from.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanized, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. We're also on Facebook Live. We're also on YouTube Live. So if you can, go and follow us or subscribe to those deals over there. We appreciate everybody doing YouTube. YouTube has been a great thing for us, and we're definitely getting that growing, and we appreciate everybody subscribing to that. And that's what we're telling everybody is try to get out there to get to YouTube. We appreciate everybody doing that. And like I said, we appreciate everybody listening along. We got Sean over there at YouTube commented. Appreciate it. Like I said, call in. 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody doing that. And John over here on Facebook. Yeah, what's up? How you doing? Hey, give us a call. Like I said, we got several people just listening along. And then several people will probably chime in here later on as the show goes, because we're on here at least 2 hours, and the what do you call the platform says we can do 2 hours, so we're going to be here at least 2 hours, if not more. We'll record it. You may not be able to call in, but we'll still record if there's still stuff going on to talk about, so we'll still do that. But, you know, until that time, you can just follow along. Like I said, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and still call in, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody doing that. So there was a couple of articles talking about a trucking downturn where freight's just going to fall off, where it's not going to be as busy. You know, right now it's extremely busy because we're still probably trying to catch up when everything got shut down. And that's one of the biggest things. So this here, this article is on FreightWaves.com. FreightWaves, if you guys don't know, you go to FreightWaves.com. They have all of their articles that have been written. They have an audio format so that when you're, if you're, let's say that you're, you know, not into reading much, or maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, I like to check out what's going on in the news. You pull some stuff up and it's like, well, I ain't got time to sit there and read it all. And maybe I need to do something while I'm, if you can like play it, and then you can just be doing something else while you're listening, you know, kind of like the news I could have in the background, stuff like that. So I thought that was really a unique thing, you know, especially if I'm in a truck, like I'll pull it up and maybe I'll be figuring out something on the logbook or paperwork or something like that, and you kind of just got something on in the background instead of stupid music or something. You can just play these articles and just, you know, have the news going on. And, you know, maybe you can even do that, too, with Redneck and Eyes Radio. You know, play it on, have it on in the background with things going on. But this one here, this was a couple of days ago, and it says, like I said, it says, why I believe a freight recession is imminent. And this is Craig Fuller, CEO at FreightWaves. And he says, for anyone who lived through the trucking decade of 2019, when carrier after carrier suddenly shut their doors, the thought of the experiencing that again is truly frightening. After all, we lost some very large carriers during the period, including Celadon, Falcon, and what is that, NEMF, Nymph? I remember them people out there. I guess they went under. I didn't remember that. Maybe I do. I don't know. It says, just to name a few, it says, in addition, we lost thousands of small and mid-sized trucking companies. In addition, major 3PLs conducted aggressive reductions in force. And yeah, I mean, what happens all the time, trucking companies go out of business, but we saw a lot of them go out, you know, and I remember in my line of work, Central Freight Lines shut their doors, and it left a lot of drivers stranded because the drivers had no idea. That was the amazing part about it. This article continues on. It says, the article stoked controversy. Some disagree with my call and voiced it directly to FreightWaves on and off social media. It says, first off, different opinions and disagreements are part of the healthy market. When I started FreightWaves in 2017, the goal was to create transparency in the freight markets, much like you see in the financial markets. In order to accomplish transparency, there needs to be an open dialogue between those of us interested in the direction of the freight market. Says, when FreightWaves was just beginning, I was told by an editor of a major publication who has been covering supply chains for many decades, the trucking rates were not, that trucking rates volatile and they barely moved. I'm still not sure why he believed that, but I suspect he thinks differently now. Says, trucking has always been volatile. I agree with that. It says, one of the most fragmented markets on the planet, the few barriers to entry, carriers come and go, booms are followed by busts. It says, typically, trucking cycles of 3 years are usually what kills the oversupply. Too many trucks chasing high-paying freight, spot freight, and then high load volumes. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now is that when the rates go up, trucking, it becomes trucking. And that's kind of why pay is low or rates are low or they drop suddenly, is because, just like he says, it's too easy to get into the freight hauling business. It is very easy. We may think it's hard. We see all the hoops you jump through. But compared to other industries, it's very easy. So that's why it's one of those things. If you're a person that's, you know, looking to get into an industry to make money, and you look at this, you look at industries and you're like, what can I do? What's the easiest path? You look at all the other barriers on the other industries, and then you see a trucking where the barrier is really low. And that's what it is they get into that. So it's not that, you know, hey, I'm a truck driver, I don't like all the barriers that I have to go through. But you, if you were trying to become another business, to own another in another industry, you would see that it's much easy. It's way easy as trucking. When we complain about it being difficult, it's not as difficult as others. So says the problem, this keeping on with the article here, it says the problem is that capacity expansion always continues well past the peak and can even continue for a time after the market has entered a recession. In the bloodbath of 2019, the peak of the market took place during the second quarter of 2018. However, it wasn't until September 2019 that the number of new entrants into the trucking market peaked. And just like we were talking about before, you know, as soon as you see the rates go up, people start getting in. Well, you know, the rates will start coming down, but people are still thinking, you know, it's high, it's high, it's high. And you won't. And then, of course, a lot of times the ones getting late into the game, those are the ones that are probably the first to go when you've got to declare bankruptcy and stop doing it, you know. And like I said, it's those people that probably don't even know we exist. We don't talk to them that often. You know, you see them all the time. They come and they go. You know, it's easy to get a CDL. Go get your CDL. You know, hey, I'm new to the country. What's the easiest thing for me to do to get a job? Go get a CDL. That's probably the highest paying job that you can get where it doesn't take a lot of training. And that's, you know, other than doing something, well, I mean, even welding or stuff like that, it's still got to be a skill that you got to know and get trained on. You know, you think about all these schools that have welding classes or plumbing classes, electrician classes, look how long those schools are. And then look how long it is to become a truck driver at a trucking school. I mean, it's just, you think it sucks that it might be difficult to be a truck driver. It's difficult to own a business, but it's not difficult to get a CDL. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's what it needs to be. It needs to be harder. Says at FreightWaves, our business is benchmarking, analyzing, and monitoring and forecasting freight markets. And much like financial market information service providers, having the freshest insights into the market is incredibly important to our success. FreightWaves tends to call inflection points much earlier than other industry observers. It's a big part of the value we provide our audience and clients. On February 27th in 2020, We warned that the freight market was about to see a massive disruption due to COVID, and that it wasn't factored into historically data and market sentiment. It says this was 2 weeks before the NBA and NHL moments, where those sports leagues called off their season. At that point, most believed that the U.S. would avoid disruptions from COVID. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, the worst health crisis in modern American history began. It was all manufactured. We all know that now, you know, and we saw that happen. I mean, when they started, you know, they started shutting plants down, you know, people couldn't work, you know. I mean, regardless of whether or not NBA canceled its season or, you know, Major League Baseball stopped playing, all that stuff, you know, that right there just kind of shocked the people. They were like, you know, what are we going to do now? And the next thing you know, they couldn't go to work. It wasn't that they couldn't go to the ball game. They couldn't go to work. And when you can't go to work, then there's no freight to haul because everything shut down. The stores shut down. You know, even when the grocery stores didn't shut down, and it was so funny to me, I wondered, okay, so wait a minute. The factories are shut down. Truckers can't haul the freight that they need to manufacture things. But there's a shortage of toilet paper, so why can't all the truck drivers, you know, bring the toilet paper? Come to find out, they, you know, of course I learned this. They make the toilet paper as it, you know, it's kind of like the toilet paper you get in the box when you buy at the store. That toilet paper might have been made a month or two in advance because they sell it so fast. They move it around so much. There's not like a big warehouse sitting full of toilet paper that will never get used. It's always getting moved around. So it's like they even ran out. They couldn't even make it fast enough. You know, you saw that Lysol. Man, Lysol ran out. People were buying Lysol. They were afraid of the germs, so they were buying Lysol. You know, so it's like, wow, you know. But so we learned all that. And what I was going to go through here is try to figure out what is he talking about. It says throughout the COVID disruption, FreightWaves continued to provide real-time data and analyze the truck market and all that. And of course, and it says in a tough COVID shutdown, we called the freight a bull market and nailed it. Okay. So what says, what to expect that happened? It says, so, I mean, this guy is really just tooting his own horn. is what he's doing. And Freightway speaks to a broader swath of transportation industry more than anybody else. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, so why does he think it's coming in the future? And it doesn't really say. It says large LTL carriers with a sizable truckload brokerage on Tuesday, March 30th, rapid deterioration of the truckload market brokerage. It says April is going to be rough for the truckload carriers. He went on to talk about LTL doing well, but the shipment sizes are down. It says, and this is, it says, what is it? There's large in them. The only market that this reminds me of is September 11th. Consumer spending completely dried up in the industry economy, come out of recession. It was a rough one for a few quarters. Yeah, this here, and this is what happens right here. What he's doing is he's talking to these large carriers that he won't name, and he's just talking to people, and he's getting insights on them, and they're saying that it's coming because the truckload stuff is just drying up. There's not as much as it was. It says continual conversions with operations in the market give context and sanity checks to Freightway's data. In this case, we're seeing broad agreement across multiple data sets, as well as from transportation practitioners from different segments. It says, for these who believe in the unprecedented truckload bull cycle will coast through 2022 or even reach new heights from here, I have a simple question. Where's the data? And I think what it's going to be is we might see some kind of downturn. Of course, you know, we already see it with the inflation and everything, but trucking is going to dry up, and you're going to see people like these companies, they're going to stop making as much stuff. They're not going to make it. They're going to just make the minimum of what they need, and then they're not going to expand. They're, you know, with tax hikes, that's what happens. When you raise the taxes to where businesses, it costs them more money to produce things because they got to pay a higher tax rate. Because if they make more money, they don't want to make that much money. They don't want to increase the profits to have to pay taxes. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, where trucking is stands. I'm talking about these big multi-million-dollar corporations. They say, you know what, we're just going to sit on the cash because we might have to spend it somewhere else. So instead of coming up with some kind of new product or new ideas or increase manufacturing to expand and other opportunities, we're just going to sit on that cash. Because if we spend that cash and make more money, then we're just going to have to pay way more taxes than we want. And then when an economic downturn happens where you see people here not spending money because they're scared because everything costs more money. So when you've got, you know, rent increases, water bills increase, you know, your car loans are going up, insurance rates go up, the dollar's just not buying much, so people aren't spending that much money. So these big companies are saying, you know what, let's just hang on to our cash and let's ride this out, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to ride it out. So if you can't have cash in your bank and ride it out, then you better watch it. And that's kind of what they're saying right here, is these big companies, they just kind of hold on to what they got and ride it out. And that's when you see freight drop off. So that kind of stuff, it happens. And that's where we got to look out for. But, yeah, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling here, and that's about it. That's like Forrest Gump says, that's all I got to say about that. And that's from freightwaves.com. And that's a pretty good read. A lot of fluff. He's just boasting about what they do at Freightwaves. But it's one of the most searched articles when you Google trucking news. I don't think they pay to do that, because, you know, when you see ads or whatever, that pops up. But that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of stuff we do here. But yeah, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. And DPF Regeneration was one of the big contributors to the Mid-America Trucking Show that we participated in, because we gave away several different things. We had drawings every day. We gave away backpacks full of goodies and stuff passed out and all that like that. We also raffled off a 32-inch flat screen, and that was donated to us by DPF Regeneration. Also, if you guys have been paying attention, watching along and seeing us on here, good friend of mine, Gerald, over here in Corpus, he started up. His son was hit by a car riding his motorcycle and passed away. And Gerald started a project. He called it the GDP Project, which is his son. It's Gerald Dylan Palmer and John 3:16. His son was born on March 16th, and he started this program, the GDP Project, John 3:16. And he had a pretty cool logo with a cross and a motorcycle, and he just named it Biker Lives Matter. And T-shirts went like wildfire, and we took some up to Louisville, and we were trying to raise some money for him so he could get this organization off the ground and get it going to where he can have more events. And he's actually planning on having a bike run, a poker run this summer, beginning of May, as I think is what he's talking about. And once he gets more detailed information, we'll be sure to share it here. But the cool thing about it is that we try to raise some money for him. Well, DPF Regeneration said, you know what, we'll donate. And they did, and it was awesome. So we set up Gerald over there at GDP Project, John 3:16, with $1,000 so he can get that off the ground going. And the shirts are cool. We all ride over here at Redneck and I, so we're so proud of that, and we appreciate everybody's support and everything. So so we want to thank DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And like I said, go show them some love and give them some business. They're what they do is they sell and clean all of these particulate filters that you need. And they all got the parts to it too. It's different parts you need. You can do that and you can get those parts. So check them out, dpfregeneration.com. And we appreciate all of their support that they do over there. And we just appreciate everything they're doing. You can check them, like I said, dpfregeneration.com. If you go to our website, redneckandeyes.com, you'll see all the links to our sponsors. Also links to our YouTube account and our Facebook account and everything like that. You can check them out at redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody subscribing to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that like that. You can call in here, 515-602-9731. You can call in, participate in the conversation, or if you want to talk about something else, let me know. Everything's going on, and we're here, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, I've got to keep it rolling.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
People of the town are saying, and the battle where they came.
Hey, welcome back. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can check us out, redneckandeyes.com, or call us up here on Sunday nights, like I said, 7 o'clock, 515-602-9731. We appreciate everybody calling in, listening along. We're also on Facebook Live. We're also on YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody doing that for us and following along there. Make sure you go follow Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel or both. We appreciate that. YouTube's been where it's at. We've been a lot of videos we get shared on YouTube where we're talking about like life on the road or handling certain situations, understanding certain problems. Again, still one of our most watched videos, and I explain this a lot to the drivers out there at the truck show. The most watched video on our YouTube channel right now every day is just me explaining the interaxial differential, the power divider. It's just not understood enough. And most of the time, the trucking schools, you know, when you go to a truck driving school and you're sitting there in the driver's seat and the guy's explaining everything to you and he's like, well, that's the trailer brake, you know, a.k.a. the Johnson bar. Of course, most trucks don't have the Johnson bar anymore, but they still got trailer brakes. Some of them do, some of them don't. But you got your lights here and you got your, you know, this is just turn signals, windshield wipers and headlights on off switch and all that. And you look over there and you see this little diagram where it's got two axles and a little X on it. And you're always like, hey, what's that do? And the instructor's like, it's like, that's the power divider. You don't do that. You don't actually flick that switch till you get stuck. And that's all they say about it. They never say anything else. And of course we find out as we learn, that's the worst thing that you can tell somebody is don't flick this switch until you get stuck. Man, that's a bad answer right there. And that's what we try to explain, and we make sure everybody understands that it's part of the job of knowing, being a truck driver, is understanding how the interaxial differential lock works. We always called it the power divider. And it's probably not really a good way to call it a power divider. People say that a lot. But it's dividing the power between the axles. And, you know, and you get a lot of explanations for it. And I just tell everybody that there's always power going to both axles on a flat surface going down the road. 9 times out of 10, every single tire on the ground in your drivetrain, which is the two axles on the back of the tractor, that those two axles, they're getting power. If you're on a flat surface and everything's equal, every wheel gets the same amount of power. Now, when you hit like different, you know, textures of ground, or there might be a little bump in the road or whatever, then the differentials between the two wheels on each side, well, they might adjust a little bit where the power goes to the wheel with the least resistance. That is also true with the axles. So not only do you have a differential is what the technical term of it is between the two wheels. And everybody understands the differential. That's where when you've got a drive shaft, it goes right into the center of the rear axle. And, of course, it's turning both axles. That's your differential. All the little gears inside there are moving to make sure that you've got power going to both wheels. But when you turn corners and all that, and there's this old video where it explains technically using little wood models and all that. Well, when you turn a corner, of course, the wheel that's on the inside of that corner is turning at a slower speed than the wheel on the outside corner. So when you have a differential, the power goes to the wheel that's got the least resistance. And a lot of times it might be the outside wheel gets all the power because the inside wheel is pivoting on that wheel, especially in the big trucks like this. So we understand that's a differential on a single axle. Well, on a double axle, there's also a differential between the two axles. And that is why we have a locker, because if you have a differential on both axles, and we can explain this all day long, and some people still might not get it, when you have a differential on both axles or in between the two axles, when one axle goes off the ground, the axle on the ground doesn't get any power. All the power goes to the axle that's off the ground. So people see this all the time. When if you're a truck driver out there and you see it, and we all see it, if you hit a bump or maybe you're backing down a ramp going into a dock or something, or you hit some kind of little like a washout where the curb or the gutter, you know, you got to kind of go up on the ramp or something. Well, the front axle might go off the ground. Axle goes off the ground, then all of the power, if you got it in gear moving, all the power, the back axle will stop spinning, the front axle will start spinning all by itself, and there were no power going to the ground. So that's why we need a locker. And when we lock it, when we do an inner axle differential lock, where you see it on there, lock, unlock. When it's unlocked, everything's moving as it should. When it's locked, that means that it's ensuring, it's making sure that the power going to each axle is exactly the same. It never gets removed. So whenever something slips like it is, then both axles will still get power. Both axles will keep turning. So we see this when you're heading in an off-road situation or you're going to hit a lot of bumps and you see that. And as a truck driver, that's what you need to do is you need to see it. You need to anticipate it. You need to say, hey, you know what? I'm getting into a situation where there's a lot of uneven pavement, there's a lot of gravel, maybe even snow and stuff like that, where I'm going to be moving around and I might be slipping a little bit. Then I need to go and engage that power divider, inner axle differential lock. We call it a power divider. Just lock it. And when you lock it, that ensures that all the that both axles get the same power. In the video, I also explain that there are people that have trucks where both axles have lockers. So when we talked just a minute ago, we were talking about the differential in the axle. And when you go around the corner, the one axle gets less power than the other because the one's dragging and the other's not. We have a locker that we can also lock to make sure that both wheels get the same amount of power. That is not really for anything other than when you're technically just off-roading it. If you're going into sand or snow or heavy gravel, that way you make sure that you've got power. Most trucks that have the axle lockers, and that's what we call them. We call them axle lockers. When trucks have that, that means they're probably West Coast trucks that run in a lot of mountains or snow. And that way they can always make sure that basically it's just a four-wheel drive. You know, it's throwing everything in there where all the power goes to the wheels all the time, and you're not going to have anything slip. And we talked about that a little bit on the video. But the main thing is if you're a driver just driving a regular tandem axle truck and you do a lot of stuff where you're going to be in uneven roads or even backing into docks is probably the most common, where you're going to hit a bump or the truck, because the trailer sticks up in the air. And if you're on video, you can understand what I'm talking about. But you know how when you're going back into the dock is kind of going down? Well, the top of the trailer, the front, the nose of the trailer is kind of more off the ground because the road is sloping to level out, right? What will happen sometimes is that the trailer will pull the truck off the ground, and you'll get a high center on that because of the straight of the trailer will force the truck off the ground. And what happens is the rear axle will come off the ground because the trailer is actually holding it up and preventing it from going down to the ground. And a lot of times your air ride can't compete or can't keep up, or maybe if it's too much. So a lot of times you'll have to engage lockers on that to make sure you put your inner axle differential in there, you lock it, and that way whatever axle's on the ground still gets power. Because if it's unlocked, then it's not. So when the truck driving school says, don't flick it until you get stuck, that's the wrong answer. And like I said, we got a video on YouTube that explains it in good detail. And again, it is the most watched video. There's a lot of thumbs up. Nobody's come on there and said it's a bunch of crap. So so that's what I tell everybody. They say, you're on YouTube? I never heard of you on YouTube. I should go check it out. Yeah, you should go check it out. And he's like, man, that's pretty good. You're on. How long you been on there? And he goes, well, I've been a little over a year now. And I said, and I'll tell you what, nobody's come on there so far and told us we're full of crap. So that's a good thing, right? You know, that's pretty much what we talk about here is just how to handle things, being a trucker. You know, truckers trying to help truckers be better truckers is what our motto has been. So it's been a great thing, and we're excited about that. But yeah, we're just rocking and rolling here. And, let's see here. Let's bring our good friend Jeff on. So, hey, Jeff, what's going on, bud?
Hey there, Ed. I just wanted to tell you you're full of crap.
Thank you. I know that you think so highly of me that you had to say that.
Well, you just said nobody has ever told you that. Well, I won't be the first then. Hey, when you're talking your inner axle stuff, that power divider, I guarantee you, if you leave your power divider turned on while you're doing your highway, you'll get less miles to gallon.
There you go.
That's because the front and back are both working together.
Right. Well, and that's always been the other question that people have always said, or the school or a mechanic or whatever. If you go above 30 miles an hour, you'll tear that sucker up. You'll tear it up, and that's just not true. It's not true.
It's not good on it, but it's not true.
Right.
And then, like my truck, I have the interaxle divider, I have the forward divider, and then I also have a rear differential. Okay. If I turn all three of those on,
mm-hmm.
You're right. It works like four-wheel drive, but they're all locked. There's no slippage. So what's bad about that, you don't want to do that and try to maneuver your trailer, because when all three of them are locked, you can't turn. You just keep going straight.
Yeah, because it makes turning way, way, way more difficult.
It locks them all up. It puts everything – it puts two sets of four focal points on the ground going in one direction.
Yeah.
It don't allow that slippage back and forth to allow the steering to work quite well. But I also remember I was on a yard one time, and it was a flat yard, and there was a bump. And this truck got one tire up on a bump. He had to get a forklift to push him off the bump because his lock, his interaxles didn't work, because when he was one tire up in the ground, it allowed the one axle the turn, and the truck couldn't go forward or reverse. It was like one tire up, everything else down. It was like high centered on one tire.
Yep, because
very seldom happens.
Yeah, because what it does not do is that interaxle does not, like you have a forward and rear lock, you still have slippage between the axle, between the two wheels on one axle. And
if I didn't have that rear differential locked, it could happen to me as well. But the way my truck is set up, I can lock the rear differentials and get off that high center because they're locked in.
Yeah, good deal.
You know.
Yeah, because like I said, we were talking about that before. Even Greg, I'll bring Greg on here. He's got a few things to say about it. So what we're talking about is people say, don't take it highway speed. You'll tear it up. No, you won't tear it up. You might not get like Jeff says. You probably won't get the best fuel mileage, but it's just gears working, just like everything else. What do you think, Greg?
If you're bringing Greg on, he's the master at it. I mean, he's the professional truck puller.
Oh no!
time to get this show on the road, Jeffy. Right? All right, listen, Jeff is right. Jeff is right. It will not. I don't care. You know, been in this a long time. I got a lot of friends that's mechanics, you know, and, you know, father-in-law, clear back through my family, we've always had trucks. Now, Jeff is 100% right, and it won't. It will not hurt that truck to run at highway speed, all right, with the interaxle locked. But there's a couple variables to that. Well, a few, really. First of all, you better have the same size tires on both axles. You can't run a smaller tire on the back, you know, smaller tires on the back axle or vice versa, the front axle, whatever, because then you're changing your gear ratio. But as long as you've got the same ratio, 355s, it don't matter what you got, 336, whatever gear ratio you got, both them rears has got the same ratio. So that drive shaft is working clear through both rear ends. They're turning. That drive shaft's turning the same speed through both rear ends. So all four of them axles, all right, all four wheels are turning at the same speed. Therefore, it will not hurt it. Like as Joe said, you will notice a big difference in fuel consumption. It will use more fuel. Because any time that you start putting a load, you're taking putting power off that driveline to something else and making something else work, you're taking horsepower away. All right? People don't understand. A lot of it is why, just like oil pressure, that's why a lot of these companies or a lot of these truck manufacturers, when they redone these smaller, these newer engines, they run at a lower oil pressure. They're running lower oil pressure than what they used to. Remember, the older Cats used to run 70, 80-pound oil pressure going down the road. The older Cummins used to do the same thing. Now, Cummins will run about 40 pounds of pressure going down the road and 20 pounds at idle. That being said, the reason they did that, they opened the oil journals up and made the oil journals bigger in the engines to give them more volume, but they needed less pressure because it's unbelievable how much horsepower it takes when you start working that truck to take that oil pump takes to pump that oil pressure. All right, it's the same way with everything. It does. And a fan. People don't realize, you know, you don't think of it, but you don't realize how much horsepower that the engine fan takes away from that engine when that engine fan kicks on.
Yeah,
I'm thinking they said at one time like 50 to 75 horse just to turn that engine fan. I mean, that fan, when it's turning, it don't turn easy.
Right.
All right,
and,
but now there is a difference, too, between your inner axle, you know, your differential lock, or your inner axle locks, and full lockers, because they've got what they call full lockers, too. Now, the full lockers, a lot of times, guys will get them in the heavy haul trucks, off-road, uses it a lot. You know, the guys that's doing a lot of construction work or going off-road in the construction, they'll have full lockers. What a full locker does, as he said, you can get, I've got my truck stuck right over here on the hill, get ready to leave, snow, ice, in the sun, in the winter, I back in there, park, go to pull out, I've done it this year, went to pull out, I get one wheel spinning on the right front and the left rear.
Yeah.
You know, and you lock the axle differential, and that's what the differential locked. It will spin a right front, a left rear, and the other two will sit there. But it's now with a full locker, with the ones that's got full lockers in it, when you flip them, it basically puts both them axles in posi to where they're both locked in. If one, the left front one turns, the right front one's got to turn too, and same as the rear. But they don't put them in most trucks unless I'm thinking it's a special order deal. You got to get them, order them with full lockers.
It is. Well, it is a special order.
Are different.
Yeah, we know Jeff.
Because on a full locker, now if you're running a full locker locked in down highway speed, yeah, you got a pretty good chance you're going to wear tires, you're going to wear gears, you're going to tear something up eventually because the least little movement in that steering wheel. That them tires are both trying to turn the same speed all the time, and it's just like running a go-kart. If you ever watched a go-kart, you know, or some of these, like an ATV, you know, like a quad or something, that back axle is a solid axle. So if the left one's turning at one speed, the right one's turning the same speed all the time, they're locked together. It's like a solid axle. Well, when you make a turn, say you make a left-hand turn, your left tire is turning slower, the right one's trying to turn faster to catch up, you know, to because it's covering more ground than what the left one is on a left-hand turn, or right, or vice versa. So if you've got them both locked in and it's like a solid axle, that right one's turning slower than the left one if you're making a right turn. So what's it doing? That inside tire, you know, that one on the inside that's turning, you know, it's gonna scuff that tire, and that tire's going to be trying to spin while the other one's trying to make up. It makes it hard to turn. It makes it hard to handle. It's almost impossible to, you know, to make a turn without it pushing the front wheels, trying to push the front wheels in. So there's all kind of variables to it. But, you know,
when you're in normal road gear, the one that's driving it and the other one's basically freewheeling. It's not driving at all.
Right.
And that's how that's how that spider gear transmission works.
Yeah, that's right. It divides. It puts power to the wheels that needs it.
Right.
That's basically what it does. It puts power to the wheel. It puts power to the wheel that needs the grip. Now, if one starts spinning, it'll put power to the other one to take the spin away from the other one. So I've run mine accidentally because in my truck, I don't have a light. When I flip the power divider on, you know, or the interaxle lock, whatever, when I flip the switch on, I don't have a light in my dash that tells me it's on. If I don't look up the switch and notice it, it can be on and I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I did that. I went from here almost clear. I drove it almost clear to Kentucky one time, not for a show, but I mean almost. I drove it from here to house almost to Kentucky, like 300 and some miles with the damn interaxle locked and didn't notice it. And I got down there, went pulling through, and I thought, you know what? And I looked up and seen the switch because it was dark and, you know, inside the truck, I don't have a whole lot of light on my dash and everything, that you know, whatever. And I thought, wow. And I reached up, flipped it off. And I've done it. And my truck's got almost a million seven on these rear ends. They're original rear ends in that 98. And the only thing that I have rebuilt was a power divider. And I did that about 2 years ago at like $1.4 million. The power divider, the through shed, the through splines, and the power diverter went in. Huh?
I will tell you one other thing on those, on that interaxle like that. If you don't have a light on your dash, but you have a gauge, if you notice that rear axle that normally isn't running that warm, it'll run, you know, higher temperature. Oh, wait a minute, what's going on with that? You look down,
right,
and your switch is turned on.
Right. Yeah, it's neither here nor there. If you're running it, like Jeff says, if you've got temperature gauge on yours, which mine does, but, you know, when they work. You know, I keep having to change the sensors in it because the sensors, the sending units in it, they're right down, you know, they go through the housing. They got two wires, a ground wire and a hot wire on them. Well, the wires from the salt and stuff keeps eating the end of the wires off. I got to fix them about every year because of the garbage that I run in up here. But, yeah, what's your temperature gauges? If your temperature gauges are both running, you know, the same temperature, then, yeah. Both them rears is running the same temperature. That means they're both working. If you've got that interaxle off, your back one, your back one is usually be a lot lower than what your front one is because your front one's doing most of the work.
Yep.
So people don't understand. So it's, you know, it's all what you want to believe, what you think. I mean, you'll have people, you know, they'll agree to disagree with you, but myself, as long as you don't jerk it, you're not banging it, you're not spit, you know, getting it bouncing. Well, just like me, they say, well, I see reports, don't use it over 25 mile an hour. Or don't use it. When we do the truck pulls, these guys doing truck pulls, you think they're holding that speed at 25 mile an hour down that track when they hook up that sled? No, not me, and nobody else either. You know, when you put that truck fifth or sixth gear and you wind it up against the governor, when that flag drops and you dump the clutch on it, you want to get as much speed as you can down that track. Now, you got both the bars, you got that differential locked, but you want all four of them tires digging. When you go down through there, you want them all pulling, and you want them pulling hard, all they'll do. So I'm not buying that, you know, 25 to 30 mile an hour. Because as long as them tires aren't spinning against each other, as long as they're not spinning, you know, they're not jerking against each other, you're not going to tear anything up. As long as you got the same size tires and the same gear ratio in both them rear ends, which you should have, and if you don't have, then you're not right anyhow. Because truck should be running around with two different size tires on the drive axle or, you know, whatever.
But we've seen them. They've done it. People have done it.
Oh, I know. I know, but it's companies will do it, and it makes no sense. And then they wonder, that's why they start having rear end problems, you know, drive axle problems, running different size tires. Another thing they'll do, they'll take and put brand new tires on one axle, replace all new tires on one axle, and the others are, you know, half or three quarters of the way wore out. Well, we only need tires on one axle, so we're just going to replace tires on the front axle. Your back axle, you're good for a while. Well, that's okay as long as you're not running like that. But if you start locking that differential in, now you're changing the ratio in that rear end because that little bit of tread depth is changing the ratio in that rear end, and it's changing the road speed. You know, them two axles are not running the same speed all the time because that tire that's almost wore out is trying to work twice, turn twice, you know, half again as fast to catch up with them ones that's got the new tread on them. It's common logic. People just need to use their head and think.
Well, so
how about that?
Well, no, that's a good question. I'm going to ask a good question, I think, which I think a lot of owner-operators out there, they do it all the time. I see it done all the time. I've done it in the past, and it's probably not a good thing is when you're out there buying new tires, they're buying an axle at a time, and that's probably not a good thing to be doing.
Well, it doesn't hurt anything, Ed. Like I said, you can do it. A little bit ain't going to make that much of a difference as long as you're not running that differential lock all the time, because
right.
It will split. It divides the power, like I said, to the front and the rear as it needs. It's a little extra wear on the rear. I'm not doubting that. It is. It's not good. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, taking a four-wheel drive vehicle. You know, if you got a four-wheel drive vehicle that's four-wheel drive, that's full-time, that you can't, you know, you got everything turning under there all the time, yeah, if you've got one size tire on the front and a bigger tire on the back, and you start using that four-wheel drive, you're going to tear something up, a rear end, a drive line, something's going to go. You can't do that because you got one axle spinning faster than the other one. And that one that can't keep up, that's the one you're going to have problems with.
Gotcha. Yeah, cool. Yep.
So
I think here's the thing to worry about.
I don't like a lot of people rotate their tires, you know, so every so often they'll rotate their tires. Well, whatever works for them. I'm not saying don't do it. Me, I don't do it because I put a full set of drive tires on my truck probably, 3 years ago now. Just about 3 years ago. Now, I don't haul that heavy anymore, but my tires right now are still probably half or three-quarter tread because I don't haul heavy. And I have never, since I put them tires on that truck, I put new tires, new brakes. I keep my brakes checked and everything. Brakes. I've been 3 years since I put brakes on that truck. And they're still better than half of the lining left on them, and my tires are wearing perfectly even. Now, the back ones might be a little lower than the front ones, but it's within a thousandth or two. They all wear pretty even on mine. So I've always got this theory, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, if they're wearing good, you're not having any problem, no cupping problems or nothing, keep your alignments done, keep up with everything. As long as you're not having any problems, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't try to fix a problem that ain't there.
There you go.
And when I go to replace them, I change all of them.
There you go.
You know, I pull all eight of them off, and I'll use them on the trailer or use them whatever, you know, or sell them, get rid of them, do whatever. But I don't try to cheat the system anymore. It ain't worth it. It'll end up costing you more in the end than it's worth. That's like running
recap. The problem is when you're buying a new tire, and you've got a skinnier tire beside it, you know, you're going to make that brand new tire wear out twice as fast. And if the other tire is not hitting the road all the time, it'll create, I've been told it creates heat.
It will.
And you can
run
into
the
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can run into so many problems. You want to match.
Yep.
That's why if I have an emergency blowout going down the road, I'll go into a dealership, you know, somewhere, and I'll see if I can't match it with the same size of tire, but I can get the same. Tread depth.
Yeah.
Well, that's like recaps. For some of these companies, they're so big that they'll put recaps on the trailers because drivers are so hard on tires. You know they're going to get tore up, but and they don't care. They got too much equipment. Me as an owner operator, I can't. And I know some owner operators that runs caps. In fact, his dad does. A father-in-law. He runs caps on his trailer. He don't go nowhere but back and forth to Chicago or Grand Rapids, Michigan, or back home. And he don't run, you know, he'll run a couple hours, and then he'll stop, take a break for a little bit, and get a coffee, use the bathroom, whatever, and get back in it. They get time to cool off. Me, I can't do that because I don't run like that. When I run, I'll run 5, 6, 7 hours straight before I ever stop the truck sometimes. And in the summertime, when it's 90, you know, up in the 80, 90, 100 degrees outside, that road's running 120, 130, that pavement. Well, them tires are getting hot. I cannot run a recap. And not only that, but a them recap, when they let go, they will end up, you know, a recap, the cost difference between a recap and a brand new tire is roughly maybe $100, less than maybe sometimes less than $100 difference anymore. So when that tire goes, as a matter of fact, I have preached that about recaps forever. I quit running them. I tried it when I was younger, and you know, when I first started with mowing tar on trucks, we tried running caps, and that caps ended up costing me more than they ever made me. And I've said that. In fact, you got a listener on there right now that owns his truck and trailer, and I kept telling him one time, I said, get them caps off your trailer. They're going to cause you problems. They're going to cost you money. Yeah, I'm trying to run them on out, and then I'm going to put virgins on it. Pow, there went the back end to one side of his trailer. He just wiped the whole back end of his trailer off on one side. So he rebuilt it. So I told him, I said, you better get them other tires off there. It's going to happen again. Yeah, they're almost down now to where I'm just going to get them off and put new ones on. Bang, and next week, almost a week or so later, he took the other side out. Well, guess what? I bet you'll be hard-pressed to find a recap on his trailer now. He'll tell you about it. He's on there listening. I know he is. So he can tell you about it.
Yep. I think that's the biggest thing is the price difference. It's not really that much cheap, you know.
It's not.
No. I mean, and then like my experience with recaps is they wear faster. It's like the tread actually wears off faster. It's like the tread that they use to retread the tire is like less. It's not as strong. It doesn't last.
It's softer. It's softer rubber.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I quit that a long time ago.
$150 on a new tire is fine. I mean, especially if it's a good tire. You know, if you got good Michelins and Goodyears, those tires that they make good tires. I've never had a problem. I've always had Michelins. I think I put some Continental. I used Continental one time. They were good. They weren't bad at all. It's personal preference when it comes to those big tire companies. They all make good tires. So.
I got Continental. I got 16-ply Continentals on the front of my Classic now, and I've had good luck out of them. I mean, I really have. They're wearing good. They wear smooth. I haven't had a problem. I had one that broke a belt in it. I can't blame the tire because, hey, let's face it. You see how them roads are down there in Kentucky and stuff and around here anymore. These roads are atrocious.
Yep. All right,
so I can't say that a pothole or something didn't break the belt, but they replaced it. All right, but I got Michelin, them high energy Michelins on the drives now, and then the trailer. They are Firestones on that new trailer I got. I haven't had any problem. I patched my tire the other day too, where Robbie put that screw in it. And I know he put that in there on purpose, but either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I did all that, but.
Yep, the Kenworth showed up to your yard, and all of a sudden you got screws laying around everywhere on the ground.
Yeah, ain't that something? Yeah, two Kenworths pull in the yard, and all of a sudden I started getting flat tires like them. Yeah, go figure. But, yeah, I mean, I don't, I hear guys saying, well, I can't afford new tires. Well, you know what? I used to think that, too. And then when I started adding the cost up, figuring out what my cost of maintenance was with just some tires a year, for having just not even cutting them or tearing them up, but just having caps coming off in the summertime, I thought, you know what? If I can't afford to put new tires on my equipment, then I don't need to have a truck. I don't need to be doing this because there's no future.
Tires is a safety factor between you and the road.
Yeah. And they used to be, well, if you blow a tire and you hit somebody or hit a car or something, you wasn't responsible. And acts of God, trust me, I've had two incident reports wrote up by the state police, and one of them was on my record for 2 years or 3 years for a damn tire that blew out and hit the side of a Jeep. It didn't do anything, just went down the side of it like a zipper, just put little black spots down the side of it. It would have rubbed right out. But they wrote up an accident report, a cop got. And I carried that as an incident, not an accident, but an incident on my license for 2 years because of that. I said right there, that was the end of me in the recaps. I haven't had a cap put on the trailer since. So,
well,
I've
seen recaps come off the tires and go 16 foot in the air and then come down. That would have gone through a windshield that killed somebody.
There you go.
Yep.
I think what he's talking about is tires cost doing business. And that's why, you talking about, I can't afford tires, I can't afford new tires. Guess what we got to do? We got to take back our industry and start just taking more rate. We got to, you know, if you're not making enough to buy tires, then you're not making enough. And that's what we're talking about here. We're going to take a little break and come back, and we got more people coming on here, and we'll be back in a second. Like I said, we're going to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app. Go in there and check them out at the app store, download the app, and we appreciate all their support. We were down there at the mats hanging out with Trucker Tools. We did a couple of panels with Trucker G and Jacinda and Larry and all those guys that do YouTube and all that, and it's been a great time. So just check those out. We're on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Appreciate everybody's support on that, and we're going to hang out here in just a second. So redneckandeyes.com. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord, I think she's cool. One of these days I'm gonna blow my top, and that sucker, he's gonna pay. Lord, I can't wait to see their faces when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Justice was served on the road. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rubber flags do. They can't speak of Jesus, how dare he ever speak the truth? I don't mean to offend you, but I'll always stand up for what's right. I'll fly that southern red, white and blue. Till the day that I die.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. 515-602-9731. It's our new number now. We got we're over here with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We got our own platform on blogtalkradio.com/redneckandeyes. You can check that out over there. And we're also streaming on live, Facebook Live, also YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody doing that for us and subscribing to those channels. You can check us out, redneckandeyes.com, and links to all those accounts there that we got set up for everybody to be able to get to redneckandeyes and see what's going on. So, yeah, we're kicking back here, figuring out what's going on with Matt's and talking about life on the road and taking care of tires. And we got talking about tires because we were talking about the interaxle differential lock. And of course, how you got to watch out for different size tires when you're running the lockers at full highway speed, which you can do. You know, it's not good for the fuel mileage, but it's not going to destroy the truck. But if you got different size tires, which we talk about was crazy, it's just, you know, drivers that they decide they're going to get different size tires just because they can't, what they want, they don't have, or, you know, oh, I need tires. Let's get whatever I can or whatever I can afford or whatever I need. And, you know, it's like get it quick instead of doing research and doing it right, you know, and like planning ahead and all that. And so that kind of stuff we just have to be careful of. And so we were talking about that and talking about everything on there. So we're going to bring back the guys on here and talk about some things. And I'm going to just get everything down here and tuned in to where we can. Our good friend Dave Gore right here singing this song. He's on YouTube, Dave Gore Music. If you look up YouTube, He's on there, and I appreciate all the Dave Gore support. He's a great, good friend of ours. We hope to see him more. Check him out at Matt's. I tell you what, he's awesome. And that's our good friend Dave Gore there, doing everything there, taking care of business. And we appreciate all of his support. And like I said, if you go check him out, Dave Gore Music on YouTube. He's got music videos. I mean, actual like produced videos, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, he's one of those guys that's just constant country music, and it's awesome. So we got Jeff, we got Greg, and we got our good friend Robbie on here too. Robbie, man, I tell you what, they were talking bad about you, talking about how you were running the recaps, but I guess you went and got those changed up, did you?
Yeah, I did. Recaps is not a good, very good thing to do. In the long run, it'll cost you more. It's not very good to run without them. Just spend the money and put versions on.
There you go.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yep. But yeah, so
Robbie, I ain't picking on anybody.
Yeah, well, you know what?
The
picking's good. I tell you what, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I am not to blame for any kind of mishaps that the one-ton dually endured, but it could not pull the trailer back to Ohio. They had to rely on a Toyota to do that.
All right, there's my shot for the night.
I think don't let Ed drive your truck.
Yeah, see? There you go. Yeah. I mean,
I fixed that. I put a thermostat in it. That cured that problem. Got the belt problem solved. Put that bully dog in there, and I'll tell you what, we took it down to West Virginia the other day for a funeral. 470 miles that day I drove it down there. By the time I went down and back home with that programmer in there, it ended up getting 27 miles of the gallon down there and back.
Man. Yep.
Unbelievable. I was really impressed with that thing.
And with that pickup, pulling with it not pulling anything, usually only gets about 14 to 15.
Yep.
And that was on a good day. So, yeah.
So, it got 27 miles a gallon, so it's come way up. Now, that's just pickup. I don't know what it'll do with the trailer. It's to be determined yet. But right now, it impresses me.
That's something else. Yep. Yeah, we're not going to talk about Bully Dog because they need to pay us money to talk about Bully Dog.
But on the truck show, I just want to say how cool it was to have a few new faces around Redneck and I's in a year that we were very on the down low. I mean,
yeah.
Tool management didn't even know we were in the parking lot, which was the way they wanted it. But we had some new people, and it's kind of neat to see the younger generation excited about trucking, and although I wasn't that excited about the truck show, the new guys were. They had a good time, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that's what we were talking about it when we were talking with ourselves about it too, is that a lot of people that never been to the truck show before were like amazed, like, wow, what a truck show. This is awesome. This is amazing. And you kind of want to tell them, if you were here 3 or 4 years ago, you would be very disappointed in what you see now. Because it actually sucked this year. Oh yeah. It was just very boring, very, very just, you know, low key, nothing really going on. But I mean, before there was always something big, I think what they tried to show in the attractions, what we saw, what I saw a lot of was just a lot of these like brokerage companies or like these, financing companies or insurance companies or, you know, and they seem to have the most money, I guess, but they brought those people in to do like the bigger things. Like they had some kind of thing going up on the second level and all that. And it's basically just these brokerage accounts or these factoring companies that want, you know, you to sign up for something, you know, to, and all that. So, yeah, I mean, before it was always like Walmart or Freightliner or Kenworth or Western Star, you know, that was the cool part. Remember back in the day when Western Star had its own booth? I mean, you know, and they, yep. And it was huge.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge. Yeah. Now it's Western Star is just kind of a offshoot of Freightliner now because everything's owned by, you know, Freightliner, Detroit Diesel, whatever. And they all kind of like create one booth for everything and it's boring.
And it didn't even have a booth. There wasn't a truck right. company with any representation at that show.
Right.
Well.
I remember the days when you had the North Wing and I mean, it was packed. With yeah. Freightliner and yeah. and Peterbilt and Kenworth and Volvo and Western Star. I mean, they were it was just the whole. You could go to that truck show, and I remember one year they had a concept truck on display where zero rear view mirrors, you know, and I mean it was cool. To be able to go to a truck show and see what the future of trucking might be like.
Right.
Well, now a lot of those things that was like a pipe dream on that truck is actually happening, you know, in the year 2022. But 2022, we don't know. We have any idea. You can't go to a truck show and see what's going to happen in 2030 because there's nothing there. I mean, it was pathetic how boring it was there. And then you go in the parking lot, and my golly, Greg said he drove his Dodge down to a funeral. Well, I think he drove his Dodge up from a funeral, way the parking lot fell.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. I can't say I was real impressed with it either down there. I was really disappointed, you know. I just can't believe it, you know. But you know what? They brought it on themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
they did.
That truck show management, that they brought it on themselves.
Yeah,
totally understand that, Greg. You know, but the bad thing about knocking the show is, like I say, the first timers that were there, and I think we may have a couple listening tonight. You know, they're excited. They had a good time, and
I'm glad
they thought it was wonderful. And I don't want to take away. From their experience, but it's just sad that they couldn't enjoy what we enjoyed with what once used to be one of the best shows on earth.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was even talking with a couple of the people that we know from YouTube and Instagram and all that. And what I didn't like was that. We get there and we're in the parking lot and we're trying to be low key because we're not allowed to do anything. Seems like everything's blamed on us anyway. You know, that if anything happens in the parking lot, it's like, you know, the show management people or whoever, they're like, where's that redneck and ice crew at? They're the ones to blame. So I was talking with a couple of people about that. And what I told them was that I didn't like it that, you know, even though, there was nothing going on, you know, other people expected there to be something going on, but it didn't even matter. It wasn't like they just wanted something to go on for themselves. They didn't want anything to go on for anybody else. And I'm like, well, that's not what I wanted. I want everybody to enjoy it. You know, I don't want to throw a party just for me. I want to throw a party for everybody, you know, and that's kind of why we struggle with sponsors or whatever, because we're like, you know, I don't have time to go sit with you. I'm over here with these drivers, with hanging out with the drivers and hanging out with those people. And, you know, and we even said it that, you know, we had a couple of little dinners with the sponsors and potential sponsors and everything. And we told them, we're like, you know, if we were doing anything in the parking lot, I would have to tell you to go, you know, go away. Cause I ain't got time for you. Cause that parking lot was all we had. And that's all we wanted. And the sponsors were like, yeah, I mean that parking lot thing was amazing. You guys were doing. And it really, really, the sponsors didn't like it either, you know. And so come to find out, you know, we're finding out that more and more sponsorship possibilities or whatever is like, you know what, this, we got to do something about the parking lot and a lot of people. So we're still reaching out to people like that saying, we got to, you know, and I was like, well, you know, you do what you got to do. And if you want us, then you tell show management to call us because, that's the only person that's going to say it. So, you know, it's like, we don't care now. We're going to do our own thing. We got other shows to go to, other shows that care about truckers, that want to see truckers have fun, you know, and we'll do whatever we want to do. And that's the best part about it is that there's so many other things we can do. Matt's is, you know, might as well go away like the Dallas Truck Show, because it ain't for truckers no more, you know. I mean, you can go see all those trucks anywhere else.
Like we've been talking, it's not a guarantee yet, but we're working on, we got something maybe in the works to where we might be working on a show of our own.
There you go.
A big show of our own. But it's going to be a while down the road.
There you go. Well, I was wondering why she didn't, I thought she was on the computer and she could hit her own button, but I guess not, but she put us on there, but wanted to come on and say, hey, because she's the brains behind everything. She's the one that came up with the idea of having her own show.
Yes.
I'm not the brains. Okay, maybe I am. I'm the smartest one out of all of you.
Oh, Jesus. There goes the big hit back.
Here goes the fucking ninth. Whoops.
Hey, now. I am down in my little cubby down here in the office, away from everybody, and staying down here doing my thing. And you guys had, and I was just listening. And then he had to bring up about the truck. You know, my little Toyota, yes, it did an awesome job. I'm very proud of it. I pat her on the neck every time when I go out there. Or she's a good girl. But anyways.
So. Yeah. True story of David and Goliath right there, by golly.
Yeah, there
I'm
you go.
Telling you.
Hey, Jeff, we don't need no money out of your help.
I think it's funny how we got the brains and the brawn on the phone there.
Oh, man.
I listen a lot of times, but I never call in, so very seldom.
Yeah.
But I was told I needed to start doing that more. But, yeah, we are in the works of looking into doing our own show. I am hopefully going up and checking the venue out tomorrow because it is a very big thing. But if you guys have time, go on the website and look up Canfield Fairgrounds in Canfield, Ohio. That is where I'm thinking, and the place is huge.
Is that a C or a K?
A C.
C.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
C-A-N-F-I-L-D.
There you go.
But
and then the other thing, go ahead.
But up there, it also has, you know, a section that is the grandstand that we could rent that, and we can do truck pulls, tractor pulls, a whole venue there if we wanted to. It has separate buildings. We will have access to on-ground showers for drivers. There's a campground area that they can rent for spots. And, you know, the only bad thing about it up there that there is no paid parking area. So we would have to discuss where the best place would be for drivers that are loaded to park. We'll have a section for, like, bobtails, cars, and then full units because we don't want the cars intermingled in with them. But the place it is, like I said, it's huge. And I got price points on everything. I emailed Bev up there to find out what it would be for me to come up tomorrow and just take a look at things. But she did tell me that the place is always open because they rent the fairgrounds out every year or throughout the year in order to actually make money to keep the fairgrounds still running. So not only will we be helping the community, it's not, you know, from where we live to where it's at, it's like 25, 30 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the largest fairs in our area here. It's up in Mahoning County. So, but we, you know, it has everything that we possibly can need. Because they have tractors that will pull wagons to transport everybody in from the parking area every day. So when they want to come into the show, they can walk. I mean, you can walk it. It's not like it's going to kill anybody to walk it. But we can have a couple shuttles of them running every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an option right now.
And the shuttles up there would consist of farm tractors with hay wagons set up with, like, seats on them, you know. It's like they use for the fair.
That's cool.
It's not buses, you know. It would be farm tractors, big farm tractors pulling It's basically these big hay wagons, but they got railings around them with seats in them, like park benches on them, and everybody sits in there just like a school bus, and that's what they do.
There
you
go.
Usually two trailers.
So that stadium, does that have a stage on it?
Oh, yeah.
No, it does not.
I thought they did out there by the grandstand area.
No, they set one up if you need it.
All right, then, by God.
But we can have one set up if we need one like that. But it is usually open for, you know, pulling and, you know, sulky races and stuff like that because it's literally right there on the track.
Hmm. Well, I just thought we really needed the David Gore concert going, you know, by golly.
That's something, you know, we can look into to start looking into stuff like that. But right now our biggest thing is I'm going to get the venue kind of hashed out and figure out all of the rules and regulations, any of the permits that we would need for that area, but also check into just looking over everything better. Because, I mean, they give me the sizes and stuff of things, of the buildings, I should say. And there's some of them, it's like, do we need one that small? You know, because they have one that is like 35,000 square feet, and it's like $2,700 a day.
Mm.
But with everything, if we get enough sponsorship taken care of, you know, there wouldn't be a problem with it, especially if we charge parking as, you know, as like a $10 a truck parking. Because just for the grounds, it's $1,000 a day.
There you go.
So right now, it's all about the sponsorship, but I want to be able to, because it's not going to be until 2024, because it's going to take us that long to get stuff, everything ironed out and fixed up. And sponsors that, taken care of,
you know, and I think we see it all the time because we've been in talks with other shows trying to get in our foot in the ground in other places, and it takes, I mean, you see all these other shows that they're always planning the next show. It's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it takes 2 years to do a show that, you know, you think oh, it only takes a year because they do a show every year. Now they're always working on the show after show after show. It's like they're always planning on that. You know, they try to sign contracts and all that stuff. So, yeah, you know, doing that ain't no big deal. But and then also, too, we're doing our own platform over here on Blog Talk Radio or Neckanized, and we might even do some other shows. That might be even in the
works. I want to get some put together for just, like, Redneckanized Women in Trucking, just for those of us women that do drive. And not even just, you know, if you're a driver, but if you're a wife of a driver – you know, mm-hmm. what's your life at home, you know, and kind of talk about that type of stuff. So you have somebody else to talk
cool.
to that's in the industry that knows it.
You know, I was thinking about that. I think a while back, what was her name, Lana? Wasn't she doing something similar to that? And I think she's a wife of a trucker, or she is a trucker that's a wife of a trucker. I don't know, but she was doing that as well. And I don't know if she might have stopped that for some personal reasons is the reason why she stopped that, but it was a pretty good show. People enjoyed it. So that's something that, you know, we're doing over here at Redneckanize is just trying to, you know, expand other things and just keep everybody up to date what's going on. So, yeah, that's awesome. So and keep everybody in the loop. You know, it's one of those things. It's family-oriented. You know, everybody looks at us like everybody. I don't know if you saw at the booth, but you know, we had our big banner going up and you could see it. I mean, you if you were looking in our direction generally, and you didn't, if you weren't looking for Redneckanize, you saw us regardless, because our banner was really big and it was up high where everybody could see it and everything. And we were one of the few people that actually had made our own wall to the side of our booth so that, you know, it would kind of stand out a little bit. And people kept walking up, like, "So what is this? What's going on here? I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you? You know?" And so that was a great opportunity to explain that, you know, it's not what you think. If you're thinking something, you know, different, it's not. You know, it's basically truck drivers getting together, and if truckers all ages, all, you know, everybody, you know. And that was the one thing I think a lot of people. You see a lot of people. I don't know if you noticed it. I noticed it a lot. People would walk by and look, and then. Not really want.
It's like they're afraid to stop.
they were like, "Well, I'm not a redneck, so I'm not stopping there." They would say that, you know.
Right.
And then if they did stop because, you know, a couple of people would stop and just fill out the form because we were giving away a TV. And they're like, wait, I can always use a TV. And then, of course, you said it was struck up a conversation.
On the table.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
What's that?
Or with the snacks on the table. That was getting everybody to stop there.
Oh, man, yeah. The snacks. We went down to the protest for the People's Convoy, and we served dinner to the truck drivers that stopped for the night. Well, as the night went on, we got there early during the day, and during that time and the night, people kept bringing food. They were like, just bring stuff. Like, here's some supplies, here's some stuff. And so as the drivers came in, we were like, here, you know, this was brought for you. People wanted to give you stuff. Here you go. We got chips and cookies and snacks and protein bars or whatever you wanted. And they were like, yeah, okay, great. You know, and it was, and then we were like going around here, take some. And they're like, we got enough. We don't need any more. And then we still had all this stuff left over. So we're like, So we called up some other, like, churches and stuff like that, and we still had more and more. So we decided, you know what, let's take it down to this truck show and give it to the truckers down there. And that was a great window of opportunity to explain to them that we were at the protest at the People's Convoy, and that even draw more attention. You know, they said, hey, that's great. That's awesome. So now we got more people, and it's one of those things. It's creating a camaraderie of people that have kind of the same goals and same vision of what trucking should be, and that's one of the great things about it. And basically, you got all of us on here now, Holly and Kelly are pretty much, and Donnie, and then the LTR boys, they're pretty much the only ones not here. Everybody else is here.
I believe Holly's on. I think that's her number that's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went to Google Maps, and I looked at this Canfield campground, and I'm impressed. Holy smokes.
There you go. Is that Holly? What's going on, Holly?
And I'm here.
Are you asleep?
I told you I thought that was her number.
I'm fighting my allergies, man. It's kicking my ass.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, don't like that one bit.
Well, when you have none in Colorado because it's still cold and snowy, and now I'm in Florida, and all I can see is new buds and pollen, and oh, my God,
yep.
Horrible.
Flonase is my friend. That and Claritin.
Zyrtec works for me. But
I have to change mine up because if I use the same stuff all the time, it causes a lot more problems. It just, like, kind of quits working, so I change them.
You know, that was going up to Ohio and Louisville for, you know, that was probably the longest that I was away from South Texas in a while. And I was starting to get nosebleeds. It was too dry. I need the humidity. I need to get back to the humidity.
Right. I have that problem too. That's why I don't run my truck unless the truck is going to freeze or the fuel's going to freeze. I mean, I'd rather wrap up in more blankets than have that heat in here because it dries it up too much.
Good Lord.
It's got to be
cold. You guys are dedicated. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Donnie, too, he's not on here, but he's the one, too. Doesn't he sleep in, like, sub-zero temperature? Because he don't want to run that
truck.
Hell,
yeah. Her dad's the same way.
He just sent me a message and said he's listening. He can barely speak because of his allergies.
Allergies, see, that time of year.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Hey, Robbie, wait a minute. I think I heard Robbie say, yeah, me too. And he's the one that every time the truck stops, I hear an APU fire up.
Hey. Why do you have to be so angry?
No APU.
My inside of my truck stays nice.
I just heard Ollie, a little bit ago, say when she was down in Florida and it was all the new buds. She was just seeing all the new buds, and I was just determined, did she say buds or butts?
It was like the comment she made the other day over there at the show booth about elk sticks.
You know what? You can from behind there, buddy. I'll take my elk sticks and I'll just sit right over here.
Okay.
You know, that was not good. I was taking a drink of water. I about spit it all over the desk.
But in promotion of truck shows, on the great thing about truck shows is if you like beef jerky, there's beef jerky at the truck shows. That was awesome.
Oh, yep. My God. Yep. That stuff was pretty good. I have still have some of it in my truck.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still chewing on some of them that Jeff sent home.
Got more of that shit.
He said Jeff made jerky, right?
Yeah, his
yeah.
is good, too.
All right. Yeah, I've still got some in a couple in the refrigerator I've been chewing on.
Mm. And
you
also what
about
I
my
like.
cheddar sticks?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was good.
Mm.
Thank
Something
you.
Else. There you go, see?
Oh, that's what stinks. My damn shoes. Oh.
I can smell them from here.
Oh. You know, I have so much shit in my truck still from that. Oh, horrible. It takes me weeks to get my truck back in shape.
One of the great things that I learned at the truck show too is a good foot massagers or like insole foot support. And I still wear my little air bubble things and they're pretty awesome.
Rocking feet.
There you go.
I've had.
I got that. I even ride them. I've got them in my boots, and then when I'm riding on the motorcycle, it's like a cushion of air, just because my have no pressure on the feet at all.
I thought maybe it's gonna be like a jacuzzi on your feet with the vibrations of that motorcycle.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he get caught at 110 or 115 mile an hour on that damn motorcycle. He better have one to set on in that jailhouse.
Yeah, that was awesome. The speedometer.
I saw that thing he sent me. I was like, he was going 118? I was like, no, not Ed.
Yeah. So I found out the speedometer is digital, but it still only goes up to 120. So when it hit 120, it stopped.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to see.
Ed,
so now
you
I
may got, never be allowed to ride my bike when you're up here, Yang.
Yeah, so now I got to go find a radar gun. So that I can actually get my speed accurate and find out how fast it actually goes.
Don't worry,
I'll tell you right now.
The corner will get you.
Just drive down the right road at the right time. They'll clock you for you.
What? Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm thinking, Holly.
Want to do
yeah.
That.
I'm sure somebody will clock you.
He better have an air cushion insole for his ass if he goes to a jailhouse.
Right, he can get a professional clocking. They'll give him a driving award, too.
Oh, man. Mm. Yeah, but it was
he
pretty fun.
If he gets caught like that, he won't be driving for Averett. He'll have all kinds of time put into his truck show.
We were out riding, and we were talking about it. Like, you go, what we do is we go around and try to find the roads that have the little curves in them. You know, you don't want any kind of, like, curves that you can only do, like, in 30 miles an hour. We want the good ones that are, like, a 50-mile curve so you can lean into it and take the curve at 60 or whatever and have fun and go back and forth a little bit, S-turns or whatever. And there's not that much around here. There's not that. These
oh,
are, this
okay.
is like.
Texas, you're looking for that?
Well, in South
go
Texas.
Go Rocky Mountains. That's a blast.
Well, so we were having a conversation about that. And one of them said, well, you know, I used to live up there near Pittsburgh. And I tell you what, man, it got some good turns up in there. And so, dude, I've been up there. There's some hills and some turns, and I tell you what, some of the stop signs, they're not in the best spots.
Yep.
And even Georgia, I got family in Georgia, and the roads there the same way. You know, it's a two-lane road through the hills and the forest and all that, and there's no shoulders at all. Like in Texas, that's all there is a shoulder. It's actually, they built a road, you know, that already, it's like a four-lane road, but it's only got two lanes because the other two lanes are shoulder out here in Texas. That's
hey,
how they make it. So, yeah.
Tiff, we need to take him down to West Virginia where we was at the other day, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Yeah. Not on a motor scooter, though.
Yeah, I've seen them places.
Those roads
man.
Down there are a little too dirty for a bike.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to clean it because I ain't going to do it.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. There's a lot of spots you got to watch out for out here because the asphalt kind of gets shined over because it's got so much wear on it. And when I can see the reflection off the sun on the asphalt, that's a little too slippery for me. I try to stay off them spots.
Well, it's like the asphalt up here. I mean, no hotter. I mean, it gets hot up here, too. It gets up 90, sometimes almost 100 up here in the summer. And
yes.
This asphalt, the blacktop, in the summer when it gets hot, that blacktop gets hot, that oil will start coming up out of that asphalt up to the surface. And the tires, you can hear the tires sticky on it, you know, on a car. And you hit that with a bike, it's all over for your happy ass. I'll tell you right now.
Exactly, yeah. Yep, that what we like down here that helps with that is the wind. It kind of keeps it cool on the road. It doesn't necessarily let it, you know, when the wind stops, that's when the asphalt starts boiling.
Yep.
But, yeah, this has been a great show. We're kicking off, like I said, it's fresh out of the Mid-America Trucking Show, and we're back here going at it with our own platform. And I think this is pretty good. I think we did all right job. What do you think?
Well, more
it
excitement
was a good
here
show.
Than the Mid-America Truck Show.
That's right. So, yeah, I think
I'm
ready to wind down because I think – the sun just went down over here, and I'm still going to go ride.
Well,
you suck, Ed.
Here.
What's that?
He said you suck.
I said,
I'll repeat it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know.
It's, like you know, said, cold here, and it's been cold here all day. And
it's
nasty.
It's snowing in PA.
Yeah, it was snowing here this morning.
Yeah,
we're
it was
nice
40.
North Carolina.
Oh, no, it's 77 degrees and dark here.
It's 39 and dark here, so.
I'd take that 39 over to 77 for sure.
Pretty awesome.
Hard
but, yeah,
to
it's
stay comfortable when it's hot. You can always put more clothes on or curl up when it's cold.
This is true.
We don't complain about the heat down here in South Texas because when it gets too hot, we just go to the beach. We just take a dip in the ocean.
You know, Ed, you're starting to get on everybody's nerve right now with this stuff, especially when we're up north.
Yes, my nerve.
That's my serenity.
They have sharks in that son of a bitch. I ain't getting in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, hey, real quick, I'll tell you about this. You know the worst thing down here that when people get into the water here, you know what the number one thing that hurts them, that gets them the most? Actually, that's the number two thing is what I'm going to say, but the number one thing is jellyfish. They stink and they hurt. But the number two thing is that flesh-eating virus. It's in the water here. And it's in
all the more
what happens,
stay out of it.
Yeah, well, what it is, it's in like those little marshy areas. So if the water, like you go out to the beach where the current is moving the water around, that's not where that is. It's over where you go when you go fishing. So a lot of people that fish around here, they get that flesh-eating virus because they wade in the water. And there's water is kind of like stagnant. It's not moving. It's like a swamp where it just sits there, and that's where that virus is. And people get that, and it's bad. And there's like no cure for it. You know, you gotta just kind of cut away the skin and hope for the best. So yeah, I don't like that at all. That scares crap out of me. So every time I see water standing still, not only are the mosquitoes going to get you, but that flesh eating virus will too. I stay out of that crap.
Exactly.
Man. So yeah,
damn mosquitoes down there in Texas the size of condors.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll lift your truck and trailer off and take you over the water.
I know it.
That's cool, man. I'll tell you what. Well, yeah, this has been a great show. I'm thinking we're going to wrap it up here. I got all the – in fact, like Robbie says, cure the music. But we're going to call it a night here, and everybody on Facebook Live or YouTube Live or everybody still trucking up. So so you guys all set? We're all ready to call it?
Yeah.
We're ready to call
the
it.
Only time I say cue the music is when Greg is getting a little irate. He didn't get irate tonight.
Yeah, he's in a good mood. And nobody's going to watch his show now because Greg didn't get upset.
That's because he has to build that up.
Yeah, you got to. It's built up.
It takes a long time to build that up, and then it explodes. It takes
already,
years before.
Yeah, he already released the valve last week, so the valve should have to build back up.
He took all the pressure off that truck.
It could take years. We may never see that again in our lifetime.
Oh, believe me, you'll see it again. Just wait until 2024 and we have the truck show. You'll see it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, man, imagine that. We might even have a contest. We'll have like a contest as like who can make Greg snap first.
Don't do that.
That's like Mount Soupy that's blowing off, man.
Let's see.
All I got to say is I know I can do it, so it's good.
All right. All right, well, good night, everybody.
Be careful.
Yep.
All right. Y'all have a good week. Be careful.
Good deal.
Goodbye, y'all.
Good deal. Good deal. Wrapping it up here. Hey, everybody, I want to thank our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTR Transportation. You can check them out, ltrtransportation.com. Also, don't forget DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com. They do the particulate filter sales and cleaning and all that good stuff. You can also check out Trucker Tools. Trucker Tools is a great supporter of Redneck and I's. Those three right now, you can get the links to their websites at our website. That is redneckandeyes.com. So you go to redneckandeyes.com, you get the links to all of our great sponsors. Also, you get the links to our social media accounts and all the great stuff like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube especially. We appreciate everybody to go to support our YouTube channel. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel and appreciate all that. We're trying to grow our subscriptions on there and check out our great videos we got over there. Share them, comment on them, let us know. Got something wrong? Tell us. Got something right? Tell us. We appreciate everybody's support on that. And don't forget to go check out our good friend Dave Gore over there too. And until then, we're going to be here 7 o'clock Eastern time every Sunday. 515-602-9731. You'll be part of the conversation. Just hit one and talk about anything. All trucking, all about trucking and then some here at Redneck and Eyes Radio. So everybody have a great rest of the week, and we'll see y'all next time. All right, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.